Hi, my name is Mark Wanamaker, and I am a professional historian relating to the motion picture and television industry. The Brown Derby history found out that it opened in 1941. It used to be called Willard's. And Willard's was a chain of these little restaurants, drive-ins, around town, like roadhouses. And apparently DeMille purchased that property, and they built this brand new streamlined designed restaurant, which they called the the Brown Derby Car Cafe. Brown Derby was used by the film industry for publicity matters, and the Brown Derby people loved it, and they allowed the camera people to come in, do interviews. People did radio programs out of there. They did publicity events, dance events, etc., etc. And that is what made the Brown Derby famous, all the way back to the 20s, the silent era. And it became a national and international icon of Hollywood. But then the idea of Hollywood is Los Angeles anyway. Culver City, where MGM was located for many years, was called Hollywood until the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce made a deal with the Culver City Chamber of Commerce, in which then the Car Cafe became a part of the new car culture coming up right at the beginning of World War II. And of course, everything was put on hold until after World War II. And then the car culture, as we all know, boomed, starting in 1948 and 49 into the 50s, as being really synonymous with California and convertibles and drive-ins. Sometimes on roller skates, believe it or not, roller skates was another novelty in some of the drive-ins, not all of them. You have to be a good roller skater to carry a heavy tray and roll around with it. I'm telling you, they have to be skilled.
We're speaking with Mark Wanamaker, Hollywood historian.
When we lose these historic sites, and it's replaced by something nondescript, something that is common, or something that is just redundant, you know, like you see everywhere, like a 7-Eleven, for example. I mean, a little bit of the history and culture of the area disappears along with it. And without this, I mean, we really have a very empty cultural life.
I'm one of the owners.
You are Mike Adler.
Mike Adler. And my company is Adler Realty Investments, Inc. In the real world, the existing site deserves no special consideration in terms of legality. Stoppage of this project on a conservation ground will never stand up. This so-called derby has no recognition to those passing by. It is not a notable structure in its appearance or design, and has not necessarily been a good neighbor. We are looking into ways of preserving either all of it or part of it as part of our plans.
I think that some folks might be feeling that that neighborhood, like plenty of neighborhoods in LA, is characterized by great diversity in the architecture.
It's going to be different than everything else in the neighborhood, so I don't see how it would create a uniformity.
Uniformity just within itself, I guess, and since it is so large and it takes up...
It's not that large. This is, if we're building 80 units, which is what we're proposing, that's not larger than many of the other projects within the 500-foot radius. By adding additional units, it frees up lower-cost units for other people as well. Our property, we wouldn't be able to build out single-family residential on because that's not what the zoning allows. It is much more conducive for multi-family, which would be either condos or apartments. The way the derby is set setup, you're walking up a steep flight of steps to get up to the level where what we want to accomplish is to have ground floor retail shops along Hillhurst so people can walk in.
I'm the director of the Association of Nonprofit Housing and Housing LA. Family A, the Smith family, is living in an apartment where they are paying $2,700 a month for rent. This condo gets built, and they move over because they decide they can actually afford $3,500 a month for the mortgage and the taxes and whatever, $3,800 a month. So they move from their $2,700 a month apartment. Well, the majority of people in Los Angeles cannot afford $2,700. The only people who are going to move into the apartment that Family Smith is leaving behind is somebody else who's earning the same kind of income.
Is there much more? Because I don't even know your name.
Sorry, I'm Johnny Radio.
Johnny Radio, okay. And it's killradio.org?
That's correct.
It's a great name. Okay, bye, Johnny Radio.
Thank you, Dr. Levin.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
However, if you zoom up, if you move up a little bit and look at a larger chunk of land, what you're likely to see is that any time that you can bring additional housing into areas where there's lots of economic activity already, you bring some balance to that area, and you're likely to reduce the overall level of vehicle travel within the region. Here at off-ramp at 101 in Franklin, you might say, boy, a few more projects like this, and we'll see less pressure from people getting on and off the freeway here at this time. And you might think that that's positive. If you're living adjacent to the project, you might think it's negative. Right. So one of the things that we know when we look back at the sort of history of traffic congestion in L.A. is that severe economic downturns are really great for traffic.
Okay.
People who move out, you have fewer people commuting. And that's an example of why, of the tipping point in action. You say, well, you know, employment only dropped 9%. Why did congestion in L.A. go down 34%? Well, it's because you're right at that margin of capacity. You see, it works in both directions.
The tipping point.
Right. So we saw in the late 80s recession, especially, we had dramatic reductions in traffic congestion over the freeway system. And all of the agencies that promote carpooling and transit use are saying, aren't we doing a great job? And it really wasn't. It wasn't that. So this is, in general, a dilemma. As I said, this is a much bigger project than this condo project in Hollywood, is that you're looking at proposals to add the population of the state of Texas to California over the next 20 years. The problem we have is that the most economically and socially vibrant cities are also the most congested.
Congestion issue, I just think, you know, Los Feliz Boulevard is extremely congested all the time, it seems. But I don't see how a development like this would really have any additional impact on it, given that I think the bulk of that traffic is people just cutting through. So, and I think the mix of uses, I think they're proposing like a Whole Foods market and condominiums. I think that mix would actually could potentially reduce traffic if the people that live in the community no longer have to drive to Glendale to Whole Foods. They can just walk or, you know, drive a much shorter distance.